right. So the new Indiana Jones movie comes out later this month. So it's the fifth one. Harrison Ford is like 76 or something like that. And apparently in an interview, he said, because I think people were asking if other people were going to become Indiana Jones. You know, sometimes they kind of recast and do stories that are younger or whatever. He said, once I'm done, Jones is done, right? So there theoretically will be no more Indiana Jones movies when Harrison Ford retires or passes, whatever comes first, I guess. And I think sometimes that happens with other movies or other books or other restaurants and things like that, even where the person who starts it is the person who runs it, and when they're done, they're done. Other people have a vision and say, look, this is a bigger thing than me, and so I want the next person to carry on with it, whoever's going to be the next Indiana Jones, right, to do these things. And so that's where we're at with Deuteronomy 34. So the people, the Israelites, right, the whole nation of Israel has left Egypt. They're wandering around the desert for 40 years by now. And they are coming up to essentially right at the border of where they can go into the land of Canaan, so right around the river Jordan. And Moses is now 120 years old, and so he's going to pass away. And so, you know, Joshua is most likely the person who wrote this section of Deuteronomy, because Moses can't write about how he died. So it was somebody else, so it was most likely Joshua. Because they're not done yet. God is not done with the Israelites yet. Right? He's still upholding his covenant, no matter who is leading the people here on earth. He says, look, this is much bigger than you, right? The show must go on. Because largely, you know, the biggest reason is, one, he's fulfilling his promise to the people with the land, but also he's fulfilling the larger promise of the Messiah that will come in through Jesus, you know, thousands of years later. So these people have to get to the land of Israel and go through everything they go through in the Old Testament, the rest of the Old Testament, to get to what we consider the New Testament in Jesus' life. And we're continuing on until we get to Revelation, till the end of everything and all that, right? So the gospel message is much larger than us, than any one individual. And so it's important that we realize that we are here to do what God commands us and God calls us to do here on earth, but we're here for a finite amount of time, whether that's in one location for our entire lives, or we're here, we move around, we do whatever. Right, we're here to do what God calls us, so it's not about us, right? If I was going to subtitle this title, I would say it's not about you, right? There's a famous preacher, I can't remember who it was now because he's not that famous apparently, but it's off the top of my head, but he said, I'm here to preach the gospel and die, and that's it, right? That's what, if we understand that's our job, that's what we're here to do. We're here to tell Jesus, people about Jesus, and then whether we're written about in a book or not, we save people or not, that's what we're here to do. We're here to live for God. Right? So we're going to read Deuteronomy chapter 34. It's only 12 verses, so we will read the whole thing. And then we will go through the outline that's in the middle outside part of your bulletin there. So here's what Joshua has written down for us about what happens here at the end of Moses' life. Verse 1, he says, then Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo to the top of Pisgah, which faces Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land, Gilead as far as Dan, all of Naphtali, the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the Mediterranean Sea, the Negev and the plain and the valley of Jericho, the city of palms as far as Zoar. The Lord then said to him, this is the land I promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I will give it to your descendants. Excuse me, I have let you see it with your own eyes, but you will not cross into it. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the Lord's word. He buried him in the valley in the land of Moab, facing Beth Peor, and no one to this day knows where his grave is. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes were not weak, and his vitality had not left him. The Israelites wept for Moses in the plains of Moab for 30 days. Then the days of weeping and mourning for Moses came to an end. Joshua, son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him. So the Israelites obeyed him and did as the Lord commanded Moses. No prophet has arisen again in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. He was unparalleled for all the signs and wonders the Lord sent him to do against the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh, to all his officials, and to all his land. And for all the mighty acts of power and terrifying deeds that Moses performed in the sight of all Israel. Right, and so here is the big idea. Here's the main idea for this, is that God leads the church to fulfill the gospel mission. Right, that is who's leading the church. As the pastor, God is my boss. Right, he's the one doing everything. He's the one leading certain things, everything. He gives me some leeway, just like he gave Moses leeway. But God is the one who's leading the church, both just our local church, our tiny church, and also all the other churches, or what I call the Big C church, or sometimes you've heard it maybe as the universal church. Right, and so we see in this story that one leader goes, but then another steps up. Right, those are the two headings for this for the sermon. So change is inevitable. Right, for Moses, who led the Israelites for 40 years, he had to leave his job. He was 120 years old. He was well ready to go by that point. But he was still sharp, it seemed like, because he said the vitality had not left him. So he was still sharp. It was just God had said, you're done. And so God used Moses for mighty works all the way through when you read it. If you go back and read Exodus, you know, the miracles he performs that he has him perform, all the things that he does, the battles they fight, all these times that God uses Moses to do great things because it's about getting the people to the promised land. So God can fulfill his promise to them about what he said he was going to do for them. And so Moses was the right leader for that time when God needed him. Right? He called Moses up because he was the one who was prepared to do this job. And we're all prepared by God at some point to do certain jobs. Whatever he asks us to do, whatever we're called to do, is what we do. And so it's important we understand that from this standpoint where, well, I can't be Moses. Well, then you're not called to be Moses, possibly. Right, because it says there was nobody else like Moses. So guess what? That looks like lets all of us off the hook that we don't have to be like Moses. Right, we don't have to be like Jesus because he's the only one who was perfect. We become like Jesus because we have the blood of Jesus on us when we get saved, where we become perfected. It doesn't mean we're perfect. We're still going to mess up, but we have God's grace over us that protects us. Right, so Moses got to look over the river and all the land that God promised them. But he could not go with them, even though these people, he led these people for faithfully for four decades, right? 40 years he was leading these people. And so besides the Air Force, this church job is the longest I've been in. This is the longest job I've had, other than the Air Force. You know, I bounced around a little bit here and there. I've been doing the same type of job, like in the civilian world, but this is the longest other place I've been to besides the Air Force. So I've been here for almost 9 years. So I found in my email, I found from Mike Cook, minutes from November 9th, 2014, when we first joined the church. Because I was looking for some stuff. It was pretty cool. All right, and we have a few more members now, I think, than we did then. We have some different people. We've had lots of people come through. Just like the Israelites. They had people, they knew people, they had different people come in and through. And I know I started preaching here somewhere around the end of September, the very beginning of October of that year. Right? And so, Moses was here for a time, and now he's done. Just like me. Right? This is my last sermon from here, at least full time. We'll be back. So hopefully maybe I can come up here and preach at some point when we come down here again. But, you know, guys, I don't think God's done with me. It's just we have to move on from here for now. And so Joshua, when he's writing this, he gives him, Moses, the ultimate compliment, right? In Deuteronomy 34:10, no prophet has arisen again in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. Moses had a special place with God. He was the one who saw him up on the mountain. He was the one who got to talk with him. He brought the Ten Commandments down. He was there talking and interceding with his people. Right, and so that's what it is. And so Moses just kind of fades out. And so then another leader steps up. So verse 9 tells us that Moses transferred leadership by blessing or laying his hands on Joshua. And so this was something that was done in the old world and even at my ordination service. And we did it at Akiah's service also, that people come up and lay hands on them to say that you are worthy and we're transferring something the leadership to them. So we can't do that, unfortunately, but somebody will step in. God will have somebody to come in and do something with the church. But we see that he was already pre-qualified, essentially, by God, Joshua was, because we see the first part of the verse telling us that the spirit of wisdom, which is the function of God, the Holy Spirit, to help Joshua make sound decisions to lead the people. Right? And so change in leadership is difficult because we get used to people. We get used to their style. We're comfortable with the previous thing, right? Just like when the Israelites were in the desert, they wanted to leave Egypt, right? But what did they say when they were out in the desert with no food? Oh, we could get cucumbers and meat anytime we wanted to in Egypt, right? So they were like defaulting back to the old leader saying, oh, it was so great, we had food, right? So something that's our natural inclination versus looking at going where we're going with the new leader, right, with God. And so we need to make sure we don't subconsciously and unfairly compare the new leader to the old one. Because it's unfair to the new person, and it robs you of learning from somebody new. All right, so how do we handle these new situations with new leaders eventually? Well, we can take our prompt from verse 34, or Deuteronomy 34:9. So he was filled with the Spirit, and Moses laid hands on him. So he transferred leadership. He was the next in line. And so people, they listened to Joshua. The people followed Joshua, said, okay, we're good to go. We are going to follow Joshua. Because he was the next in line to lead the people into the promised land. He was the person to teach the people about God and intercede on their behalf when needed, right? He was acting like Moses, but he was doing it in his own way. And so more importantly, Joshua was the next person in line to help the people keep the covenant. That's what they're here to do. They're here to follow and stay in the covenant with God as much as they could and follow the laws that are enacted here as they go into the promised land. And if you read Joshua, if you skip ahead, want to read Joshua, it's pretty exciting. Right? There's all kinds of giants and battles and things like that. And it's important we see this. But Joshua was trying to keep them on the straight and narrow path to stay with God and trust God. So here's our application for this. So people are finite, right? That's why we have to change out. We wear out, we tire out, God calls us somewhere else. But God stays put. God is the I am. He is. Right? Sometimes it's kind of hard for us to understand, but he is. He is present tense. He is everlasting. He is past, present, and future. He doesn't get tired. So God is constant in this world. God is consistent in his rulership of this world. And God is in control of this world. Right? So those are the three C's that we can take away from this. So no matter who is in charge of you, kind of right above you, we know that God is in charge of everything else. So God has put people in charge of you or me for a purpose. But we know that we just work for God no matter who's in charge of us. So we should work heartily to the Lord and not for men. That's what Paul says in Colossians. And so God is everlasting. So Jesus was the prophet that was greater than Moses or even Joshua because he doesn't just help guide the people to keep the covenant. Jesus fulfills the covenant. Jesus completes the covenant. He is the covenant. And so Moses, Joshua, Samuel, David, all the other major people in the Old Testament all had a purpose. They were holding people over. They were reminding them of the law, of what their covenant was with God until the arrival of the Messiah. That's what everybody in the Old Testament is doing. It's a placeholder until Jesus shows up. That's why we get excited about Christmas, because the person who's coming to fulfill the law is now being born. He's coming to earth. And at Easter, his death finalizes and fulfills that new covenant. He makes the new covenant in his blood on the cross. And that is the good news. Because after Jesus' sacrifice, Peter, Paul, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and all the other writers of the New Testament, and all the church members through the ages, so all the people that Paul writes about, all the people that if you look up church history books, goes through, they are there to proclaim the good news of the Messiah's arrival and how Jesus made the covenant whole for his people. How you are included in this covenant. Right? There have been countless preachers over the last 2,000 years that have preached messages that have saved people who went on to propel the gospel that we do not know about. And churches like ours, every day, every Sunday, every whatever day they have church, people we don't know, people you've never heard of, people you never will hear of until we get to heaven and we see the great multitude that John describes in Revelation. All of those people were there because they heard the gospel and or preached the gospel, proclaimed the gospel, told somebody about it. It doesn't have to be from here. It could be from your kitchen table, from the corner, from the gas station line, wherever it is. Our job is to fulfill to preach the gospel message, to tell people about Jesus. That's what the church is called to do. Right? We proclaim Jesus in his saving grace that raised each of us from the dead that we were in before, as Paul says in Ephesians. So here is my parting prayer for this church. So one, like we're told, the people mourned Moses' death for 30 days, and then they started following Joshua. So take a rest, right? Take a rest. We've been working hard for the last 8 years, doing all kinds of things. We've fed 350 some odd people, I think, every month since September-ish, maybe October, right? For the people from the neighborhood, we fed kids all day, every day last year for the school year or for the summertime. We've had VBSs, we've had kids club, we've done all kinds of things, shoebox ministries, all kinds of things that we've done. Bob and the band play music every week. I write sermons every week. We need to take a rest. Take a rest and be there. Just take a look at what's going on. But then continue to look for God, look to God for the direction he wants the church to go to. Right? Pray. Personally, pray collectively to see where God wants to take this church next. He'll take you into the promised land somewhere, regardless of what that looks like to me or you. He has a definitive idea of what's going to happen. And ask for strength to go where he leads. Because he may say something like, I want you to go over that mountain. And so you're like, that's pretty far a walk. I think I'll stay here. And we will miss out on God's grace because we're afraid to go up over the mountain because it may look difficult. So don't worry about that. Ask God for the strength to say, okay, God, I'll go, but you need to make sure I have a water bottle and some snacks because I'll be cranky halfway up. Right? Give me some fruit snacks. And then whoever comes in, give the new guy a chance. Right? Give the new guy a chance because this is important that you don't compare him to me because hopefully they weren't comparing Joshua to Moses, right? Well, Moses would have never made that decision. I can hear those, right? You can kind of hear because they were already grumbling, right? The Israelites were grumbling all the time. That was kind of their second job. Besides walking around the desert, they were complaining. And usually they were doing both probably. So I could almost hear they probably were, but it says they listened to Moses or Joshua. They followed Joshua. So give the new guy a chance. Let him get his footing. Let him get situated. Let him do his own thing. And if we trust God, he will do things because he's trusting God. Because leadership is not easy. So wrapping it up. It has been my honor and my pleasure to serve as your pastor. The trust that was placed in me in a difficult time and how we all grew it together in God. Right? Because I thought about actually having church back there like we did for the first time when I showed up. And you guys were like, that was the only place you guys could meet was back in the fellowship hall there. I think Bob just had his acoustic guitar. I think that was it. So I appreciate your patience. Right, I looked back over some of my first sermons. So I appreciate you guys getting through that with me. Because they were pretty sparse. I don't know what I was thinking, some of the stuff. And I just had some notes. That's what they seemed like. But you guys gave me good feedback. You guys let me learn and practice on here, on you guys, essentially. I appreciate your friendship, and I am thankful for you guys being awesome church members. Right? Because I have read horrible, horrible books and stories about how churches decline and why, and they have people fighting over carpet color, if the pastor ate my fruit salad or your fruit salad. And what that means, the underlying, the politics of the Game of Thrones of fruit salad, apparently. if I like somebody or not, whatever, depending on what I eat or don't eat. You guys have stayed focused on the mission and what the church should be doing. Right? And that speaks volumes to your maturity, of how you guys are, where you guys are at. And I know you're going to continue to do that. Right? So I'm not worried about necessarily giving the new guy a chance so much, because I know you guys are going to continue to stay focused. So I am humbled, and I will miss you all. Right? So let's sing some songs. So let's go ahead and stand. And we will have the band sing us out. Yes, ma'am.